This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour of power here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Joining us in about 15 minutes or so, live from Las Vegas Summer League, our pal Chase Hughes covers the Washington Wizards and the NBA for the Monumental Sports Network. Can't wait to have Chase on to not only ask him about the Washington Wizards, but some other pretty big Summer League storylines that we have gotten to see here, including the debut of Zach Edey, including the debut of Bronny James. So a lot to go over with our pal Chase Hughes when he joins us. Before we get out of here, we will revisit the discussion we had at the top of the show about USA basketball and where this thing ultimately will go in terms of some of the storylines that we're seeing here. Kawhi Leonard opting out due to injury. What happens with the Clippers next year? And y'all know how I feel about that. They should have moved on. But when you're opening up a new arena, you got to make a rational decision. So I understand it from a business standpoint. But him being replaced by Derek White, like, it's sparked a lot of controversy online in terms of the topic and whether or not, you know, it was the right move by Team USA. Jaylen Brown has been pretty vocal on social media about, you know, when I just completely had a brain fart. Can I tell you what stole my train of thought completely? Jaden Daniels, our quarterback, best men's collegiate athlete. There we go. That a boy. That'll stop you mid-sentence. So Jaden Daniels continuing to bring in the hardware from his final season at Baton Rouge for the LSU Tigers. Best men's collegiate athlete as the ESPYs are going on right now. Jaden Daniels coming home with some hardware. I told you he won an award. I told you I didn't care about what award he won, though. I just wanted to see the drip, but now we got the answer. Best men's collegiate athlete going to one Jaden Daniels. I really don't care about the ESPYs anymore, and I think we said this a moment ago. I really can care less about the ESPYs. I'm happy, though, that our quarterback bringing home some hardware. Before we get out of here tonight, though, as I mentioned, we will discuss the hot-button topic of whether or not Jaylen Brown was snubbed for USA basketball and why that decision ultimately was made. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about the Washington Wizards. First Summer League game of 2024 coming up tomorrow for Washington as they will take on the number one overall pick, Zachary Richichet, and the Atlanta Hawks. A lot of talk, right? A lot of talk that, you know, there was a lot of talk and a lot of discussion about whether or not, you know, the Wizards would ultimately choose Alek Sar with the number two overall pick. There was a lot of back and forth surrounding, you know, how they felt about the top prospects in the draft. I still continue to think that, you know, when it comes to this front office, the Wizvengers, as I call them, Mike Winger, Travis Schlenk, Will Dawkins, I trust the powers that be in Washington's front office to where I would have been on board with whoever they selected. The Alex Saar pick is fascinating to me. When I say fascinating, it's not to be negative, right? It's not to be negative at all. It's a lot of unknown with him in terms of how his game will ultimately translate to the Washington Wizards. I have some questions, but overall, I think he'll be able to hold his own. What I am more excited to see more than anything with Alex Saar is his ability to knock down perimeter jump shots. Like, that to me is what is most important and what will ultimately determine how good he is as an NBA player. What will determine how good he is where he is able to take his game offensively. Defensively, make no mistake about it, he already has legit tools to be a huge factor and force on that end of the floor. Make no mistake about it. He already has those tools. And we talked about it on draft night. I love, first of all, for starters, I love the ability he has to block and alter shots standing at 7 feet tall. But outside of that, in today's day and age, and you saw it if you got to watch Team USA versus Canada last night, you saw how important this skill set is. They had the guards of Canada in hell with AD and Bam Adebayo being able to switch everything on the perimeter. Alex Saar is that type of defender in terms of the ability to block shots and then the versatility in the lateral quickness to be able to move and groove. Like, that is to me super important. Like, that is what I care about more, is his ability to switch, because it opens up. So, not even that it opens things up, it just makes Washington that much better on the defensive end of the floor. How many bigs can realistically do that? It is a trait that is coveted by NBA front offices. And it's a big reason and the driving force. Well, I think, you know, he was a top two pick in this draft. I don't think it has as much to do about his offense. I think defensively, teams looked at him as a moldable piece of clay and thought, we can get him stronger, quicker, and highlight and underscore the skills that he already has on that end of the floor. Like, I think that's the thought process when it comes to Alex Saar and why he was so highly coveted as a prospect. But I do want to see him in these pick-and-pop situations where he is the ball screener and he steps out for a perimeter jumper. Like, that's what I want to see. The Wizards posted footage. I believe it wasn't the Wizards. I believe it was our next guest coming up, Chase Hughes. He posted footage of Alex Saar shooting corner threes at practice the other day. The stroke looks good. It's not ugly by any stretch of the imagination. Like, the kid can shoot it. I think that is the reality of the situation. He can shoot it. He's got good form. It's about mechanically, are there going to have to be any changes? That happens to every player when they go from college to the pros. The NBA shooting coaches want to quicken your release. Sometimes that messes up a guy's shot. Sometimes it's best to just leave a guy's shot to hell alone. Look at Tyrese Halliburton out in Indiana. His wicked-looking jumper. Pacers let him rock, though, and he's one of the best three-point shooters in the association. So I'm curious to see what type of offensive development they're looking for from him. One thing that Will Dawkins talked about on draft night is how they're continuing to build this roster out and shaping it to their liking and creating their own identity and what type of player and prospect they're going to go after. They made it very well known in the post-draft presser that, like, they want Alex Saar to be able to get the ball off of a defensive rebound and push. Like, that's the type of player they view him as. Somebody that can potentially initiate offense. Like, it's going to be fascinating because we don't really know or understand because we don't know or understand because we haven't seen him yet. But like, I'm expecting Alex Saar to open up people's eyes one way or another. I think the more likely scenario is that it happens on the defensive end. But could you imagine Alex Saar off of a defensive rebound going coast to coast and stuffing it? That's what we want to see. That's what excites us. And I think ultimately, like, on that end of the floor, in transition, he may have some interesting opportunities. I want to see him as a playmaker in those short roll situations. Can he, you know, make the right pass when the help defender comes? Is he comfortable with the ball in his hand? So I want to see, because I know they're not going to give him any post-ups. I don't think that's his skill set. I don't think that's who he is. But the reason I've got confidence in the kid is Carmelo Anthony was pretty bullish with his commentary on Alex Saar because he got the chance to see him up close in person, being, you know, one of the front big wigs in the NBL where Saar spent some time. I think when it's all said and done, he may very well end up being the best player in this draft, but I think the reason the Wizards went with him, high floor, and a high ceiling as well. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at @NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, our pal Chase Hughes, live from Las Vegas at Vegas Summer League, joins us next to give us his thoughts on what we can expect from the new look Wizards. That's next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Stretch run of overtime here tonight on 106.7 The Fan. It's the youngest in charge movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Speaking of the Infinity Sports Network, you can catch me out or check me out there tomorrow on the always free Odyssey app as a fill-in for Zach Yelp, 3 to 6 tomorrow on the Zach Yelp Show. So we're going national tomorrow. And I wonder what we possibly could be talking about tomorrow, 3 to 6, on the Infinity Sports Network. Right now, though, as we've talked about the entirety of the 9 o'clock hour, the Washington Wizards' 3 first-round picks a couple of weeks ago in the draft, all 3 of those first-rounders set to make their NBA debut out in Summer League. Joining us right now live from Las Vegas is our pal Chase Hughes, who covers the Washington Wizards and the NBA draft for the Monumental Sports Network. Make sure you give him a follow on the OX app at Chase DC Sports. Chase Hughes, the man of the hour. How you feeling, my man?
I'm doing great, Linnell. Thanks for having me on. I'm actually about to head to the Las Vegas Sphere for the first time.
Look at you getting out there seeing stuff, my guy. Awesome.
Sightseeing.
I'm about to say, man, it's awesome that you get to do that. How's the weather out there, my brother, before we get into the basketball? Because you left the DMV in a super muggy and sticky state. Did you go somewhere a little bit cooler?
Dude, it's about 115 today, and I swear it feels better than D.C. right now. Because, I mean, it's been relentless the last, 2 weeks. Not just the heat, but the humidity.
Yes.
I prefer the way it feels in Vegas right now. Although, I think it's going to get up to, 118 over the weekend. So ask me then.
Okay. I honestly didn't expect you to say that. But I've been out to the Midwest a couple of times, like Oklahoma City in the summer. We'll get temps of 110, but it still feels better than what we deal with here in the DMV, where the humidity reigns supreme. Hopefully, the Wizards' 3 first-round picks are able to reign supreme tomorrow night in their summer league debut against Zachary Richichet and the Atlanta Hawks. I know you've done a ton of work getting ready for this matchup. When you look at what Washington is looking to accomplish here in this Vegas Summer League. What do you think is most important from these next couple of games that we'll see?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting because they've got a lot of players with NBA experience on their Summer League roster. It's very unusual. They've got 9 of their 15 players have NBA experience, and 3 of the guys that don't are first-round picks coming in for their first Summer League. So you've got a lot more experience than you usually see on a Summer League team. Also, a lot of the guys that do have experience spent a lot of time with the Capital City Go-Go last year, and their head coach was the coach of the Go-Go last year, Cody Toppert. Ah. So I think there might be an unusual amount of like chemistry and continuity and maybe some structure to the Wizards in the Summer League, which you don't often see. Usually the Summer League is like a complete free-for-all where you have all these guys who've never played with each other, who come together as a team, but everyone is not playing as a team. Everyone's like fighting for their NBA lives because they recognize a lot of them that aren't first or second round picks. They know this might be their only shot at impressing the team that they're playing for or anyone else who is in the gym. So I think the Wizards Summer League team might actually be kind of good as far as Summer League teams go. I don't know if they're going to win the championship. They've never done that before. But I think it's going to be a more structured, team-oriented Summer League team than you're used to. And head coach Cody Toppert said this at practice yesterday. He's noticed a lot more like extra passes being thrown and a lot more sharing of the ball than he expected. And if that translates to the Summer League, that will definitely stand out because you don't often see that.
No, Summer League is the home for bad hoops. We all love it, right? We all love the TV spectacle that it is. It gives us some entertainment here on the heels of free agency. Like, it's great. But as you mentioned, the basketball, normally not that good. The Wizards have an interesting situation. I believe the last time, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Chase, that we had multiple first-round picks. Was it Chris Singleton? And who was the other first-round pick in that draft, if you remember?
Jan Vesely. That would be 2011. But 3 first-round picks. This is the most since 2010. It ties the franchise record.
Wow.
And in 2010, they had John Wall, Trevor Booker, and I believe Kevin Serafin was the third one.
Yes.
So it's pretty unusual that you have 3 first-round picks. So you combine that with the depth of NBA experience, and I think it could be the deepest, maybe even the best Wizards Summer League team they've ever had. They've had 2 MVPs in their past. John Wall won MVP at the Las Vegas Summer League in 2010, and also Glenn Rice Jr. won it in 2014.
Yes.
True Wizards diehards will remember that one. Very few else will.
Yeah.
But what's going to be interesting about this group is that Cody Toppert, their coach, was telling me how basically the way they want to play is everyone on the team essentially has the green light to take the ball off the floor off a defensive rebound.
Whoa.
He also wants to have a 5-out offense where everyone can shoot from the outside and everyone can make plays off the dribble. And why that could be interesting is because, first of all, I think it speaks to what the Wizards want their team to look like in the big picture. Will Dawkins has kind of alluded to this. But also, it affects Alex Saar directly because he's a 7'4/5 coming in, and you're going to see him leading the team in the fast break. And you might even see him, according to Toppert, be the ball handler in pick and rolls, which is something that you don't often see from a player his size.
Now that would be interesting. I know you saw the really high remarks that Carmelo Anthony had for Alex Saar, and he talked about how he feels like his offensive game is extremely underrated. I think tomorrow in the Summer League debut, as you're mentioning, we'll get to see whether or not, you know, Alex Saar has got the goods or not offensively. I do want to say this, though, Chase, and tell me how you feel. It's so easy for fans to try and make these massive declarations based off of one Summer League performance. For you, like, what are you most looking forward to seeing, and what would be the telltale sign of tomorrow being a success for the Wizards?
Well, it doesn't mean a lot, but it does mean something. I think if a guy comes out and dominates the Summer League, then it's probably a good sign that they're going to be able to impact their team right away next season. And on the other hand, if a guy really, really struggles in Summer League, then it's probably going to be a precursor to their rookie year. But the thing I'll be watching with Alex Saar and their other rookies is just how do they look in terms of their size and their athleticism on the court in the NBA Summer League? Because, as you mentioned earlier, it's not the best quality of basketball. It's not the best team basketball that you'll ever see. But it's one of the closest glimpses that you can get to the length and the size and the athleticism of the actual NBA. This is definitely a step up from college in that regard. So if a guy's out there and he looks big for his position, or if he's, you know, blowing past people off the dribble, then he's probably going to be doing the same thing in the NBA to a certain extent. And again, on the other side, if a guy is not being able to get past anyone, or he looks a step slow, or he looks too small out there, that's probably going to translate to the NBA. So I think Alex Saar is going to stand out in terms of his size and his athleticism. And, you know, he's going to go up against NBA caliber athletes, which generally separates the guys who are in summer league from those who actually make it in the NBA, is not their size and their athleticism. Yeah. It's their skills and their intangibles. But I think in terms of those traits, I think Alex Saar will jump off the screen.
So Alex Saar clearly is the guy we're all going to be paying the most attention to, right, Chase? Bub Carrington, though, man, I've got a little bit of bias, is the best way that I can put it, because he's a DMV cat, Chase. You know how we get about our homegrown talent. Do you not feel like Summer League for him is the perfect place to see whether or not he can get his stuff off? Because when you talk to every NBA talent evaluator out there throughout this process, they rave about his ability to make things happen with the basketball in his hands. He's just a true hooper. Summer League is a place where a guy like him can really get off. And the best way that I can put it, Chase, is test what he can do at the NBA level. This is a perfect – I don't care if he goes out and has four turnovers and takes some bad shots. Like, I want to see him try and do what he did at Pitt in the NBA, because I think he's got a serious potential to be a lead guard in this league.
Yeah, his best ability is being able to shoot off the dribble. Yeah. And it's very advanced for his age. He might have been the best pull-up shooter, one of the best pull-up shooters in college basketball last year, if you take volume into account. And then he went to the combine and did great in shooting off the dribble drills in Chicago. So that's something that I think will suit him very well at the next level. It's usually a trait that predicts success for an offensive player in the NBA.
For sure.
But he's only 18 years old, and I think there's going to be an adjustment period, and we may see it early on in the summer league to figuring out what constitutes an open shot in the NBA. Like, I've heard coaches say this about young players that come into the league. They might not think they're open because it's not what open was in college.
Yes.
But that split second of daylight that you get in the NBA is an open shot. So you better take it, right? And so can he create separation against NBA caliber athletes off the dribble? Can he adjust to the speed of the game very quickly? That's what I'll be watching. But, you know, in terms of big picture proclamations, even if he struggles at that, I won't make too much of it, because he's only 18 years old and he's already ahead of the curve in that regard. I think long term, he's got a very, very high ceiling.
Yeah, I'm also excited to see how some of these lead guards are able to set up our guy, Keyshawn George, who we knew was a sharpshooter at the University of Miami. I'm also interested to see how he is able to defend. But, Chase, let's address the elephant in the room here. All eyes, it feels like, are going to be on former first-round pick Johnny Davis. When it comes to Davis as a whole and how he's sort of fit in with this new regime, do you think, or how big do you think this summer league is for him? And then where do you think he stands right now when it comes to this organization in terms of how they view him? Because I think while he's not probably ever going to be some 15 to 20 point per game scorer, in terms of what they're looking for right now, in terms of just junkyard dogs that are willing to go out and compete their ass off, we can both agree he may have some shortcomings offensively, but he fits the bill on that end of the floor at least.
Well, they're giving him another chance. You know, he was in a tough spot, I think, a year ago, because a new front office took over 1 year after he was drafted by a previous regime, right? So he was not their guy. But they gave him several votes of confidence, I think, one by, sticking with him, and secondly, by picking up his contract option in October for next season. You know, they didn't necessarily have to do that. And so they gave him a stamp of approval in that regard, and kind of waited to see how things would go this past season, and it wasn't the best year for him. But this is another opportunity to show them that he's getting better, that he can make something of his NBA career. And I think that going back to just the idea of him improving, you know, when the new front office took over, they wanted to give him their own guidance in terms of what to work on and put him in their own system of player development under their own coaching staff. And that process began last season, but it's continued throughout this offseason. So I think they're going to want to see the progress that they're looking for based on the parameters that they set. So we'll see if Johnny Davis can, you know, make something of this summer league. I think it's a great opportunity for him. Obviously, he has had some mixed results in the summer league in the past, but I think what you mentioned about defense, that continues to be the way that he can stand out to this front office and this coaching staff. If he can play lockdown defense at the two guard position, then I think that'll be enough for him to stick around. But, you know, he's got to take care of business in that regard.
Yeah, I think, you know, me and you have had numerous of conversations off the record about this kid. Really good person. Was dealt a interesting set of circumstances in terms of the birth of his child, the back injury, and then just how quickly he was thrust into summer league and the expectations that we had. I think all things considered, he's handled it well. I know me and him have had, you know, interesting conversations about confidence and, you know, just how important that is to have success in today's NBA. I'm rooting for him, and I honestly think while he may not be a starter for this Wizards team in the fall, I think I can certainly see a scenario where maybe he gets himself into the rotation if they want to help him continue to further that development. We're joined right now on the BetQL guest hotline by our pal Chase Hughes, who covers the Wizards and the NBA draft for the Monumental Sports Network. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at Chase DC Sports. Another guy that will have the microscope on him during NBA Summer League is last year's second-round pick, Tristan Vukovic. Played well in the 10 games that we saw him at the end of the regular season. Explain what Washington did with his contract and how Will Dawkins and company are making magician-like moves. And then what do you expect from him in summer league? And do you think next year from game number one he will be a part of this rotation?
Yeah, so he had an NBA contract as a second-round pick last summer, and there was an option in that deal, and they converted it to a two-way contract going into next season. He was asked about it yesterday at practice ahead of summer league and said that, you know, he's not too worried about the way that his contract has changed, and he's embracing the situation that he's entering into now with Jonas Valanciunas signed at center. You know, Tristan Vucevic, it was a different depth chart that he was encountering just a couple months ago before the Wizards signed Valanciunas and before they drafted Alex Saar second overall. So he's got some depth to navigate now. They still have Rashawn Holmes and Marvin Bagley III. So he's embracing the idea of learning from Jonas Valanciunas as a fellow European big. And I think he remains confident in his path forward. And he's also actually got a pretty cool backstory with Alex Saar. They were both at Real Madrid when they were much younger. Alex Saar was only 14 years old. He left home to go play in Spain. And Tristan Vucevic was a couple years older. I think he was 16, 17 at the time. They were in the development program there. So they got to know each other pretty well, and now they've been reunited on the Wizards. So Vucevic, you know, he showed a lot last year, I think. There were flashes of great things offensively and defensively. Coach Toffert said yesterday that he's focused more on defense than anything in the summer league. He wants Vucevic to kind of step up to the plate physically against some of the bigger centers that he'll have to go up against.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating. He's sort of – I'm trying to say this in the most respectful way possible. He's got a baby body. There's still some baby fat on him in terms of, like, I agree he can bulk up and get a little bit stronger. But, Chase, tell me if you agree with this. We raved about Bilal's feel for the game on both ends of the floor. I think Vooch has got a little bit of that as well in terms of he may not be, you know, the biggest, the fastest, the strongest, but the basketball IQ and feel will help him mitigate whatever, you know, issues and shortcomings that he has with the athleticism.
Yeah, that's something that the coaching staff raves about, his basketball IQ and his feel. And you saw that last year because, you know, he could shoot from the outside, but he could also pass, which was a nice element that, you know, the Wizards didn't really have at that position. And I think it's going to serve him well. And that's what the Wizards are looking for, is just versatility at all spots. You know, they want to have an offense where everyone can shoot, everyone can make plays off the dribble, and everyone's a willing passer. And Vucevic kind of fits that profile. And you mentioned the size. You know, he's got to beef up. But, you know, he's a legit seven-footer. You know, yeah. he measured in. He's one of the bigger players at the combine last year. So I think he fits the profile of what the Wizards are looking for with positional size. And if he can add a little bit of muscle, that'll only help his cause.
Real quick, Chase, before we let you go here, I got to ask you about my favorite player's son, Bronny James, and his two NBA Summer League performances to this point. I thought he was better last night and had more of an impact on the defensive end of the floor. But do you think there's a hesitancy from him to put the ball on the floor if you've gotten to catch any of his action?
Yeah, he has been a little bit gun-shy. I mean, I think we all knew that he was further ahead defensively than he is offensively. And the athleticism and the defensive mindset, those things are there. And it's a long-term play in terms of his upside. If he can, you know, be the defender that people think he can be and add some offense, then he could be a pretty valuable player. But, it is interesting. I mean, he'll make his Las Vegas Summer League debut tomorrow night before the Wizards play. And the gym is always packed in Vegas at the Summer League when the Lakers play, because it's the Lakers, but also Vegas isn't that far from L.A. Like, I don't think it's a very far drive, like maybe like 4 hours something. So it's always a sellout crowd. And, you know, LeBron was just here playing with Team USA. We all know he's going to be in the gym. It's going to be a crazy atmosphere leading up to the Wizards game.
For sure, Chase. Enjoy it while you're down there, my man. We'll talk soon, my friend.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
Chase Hughes, one of the absolute best, talking all things NBA Summer League and Washington Wizards. Make sure you check out his work at monumentalsports.com, as well as follow him on the X app at Chase DC Sports. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, as I just mentioned, Bronny James, second Summer League game last night for the Los Angeles Lakers. When we get back, I'll give a grade on Bronny James through his first two Summer League performances. That's next here on The Fan. Yes, indeedy. One final segment here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement, Liddell Willingham, riding with us for about another 15 minutes before we go national. So we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Huge, huge, huge shout out to our guy Chase Hughes of the Mighty Mental Sports Network joining us in the last segment, talking all things Washington Wizards as they get geared up for NBA Summer League. And like I continue to say, I am, and this is tough for me because, you know, the Wizards are like my first love. That may be the best way that I can put it. I mean, the Commanders are always have a special place in my heart, and I love football. It's my favorite sport. The NFL is king, all of that. But just as much, this is what's different about a lot of y'all in this town. We love, 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 love the Washington Commanders. We love Washington through hell or high water. Till death do us apart, damn it. We love the Washington Commanders. I don't think that same patience exists for the Wizards. I just don't think it does. And I guess they have been mediocre a hell of a lot longer than the Commanders have. They haven't made a conference championship since the 70s. When I say it, someone should almost call in and say, what you know about the Wizards? And I guess I couldn't be upset if that was the case. But no, like, I honestly, and I heard Grant and Danny having this discussion a week or two ago in terms of, like, Wizards are on the up and up because we finally believe in the folks they have in the front office. The Commanders are on the up and up because they finally have a franchise quarterback and they believe in the folks that are in the front office. I can say the same thing about the Washington Nationals, who have lost 13 out of their last 17, but they have the best prospect in baseball, talking about James Wood. They have some really good young pitchers that they have developed. And they got some guys still that haven't come up that are in that farm system that will pay dividends immediately once they get to the show. So every organization, I noticed I didn't mention the Caps. Because I don't know how I feel about the Caps. I think they're in OV record-chasing mode, not about winning hockey games. I don't think that's what's most important to them. Now, they've made a bevy of moves here within the last week and a half, 2 weeks, to try and improve. It's the most cap space they've had in eons. So we'll see what ultimately happens. But I think the Wizards, the Nats, and the Commanders, it's a three-horse race in terms of who's going to be the next champion here locally. Genuinely believe that. Speaking of champions, the greatest basketball player of all time, LeBron James, he was a champion, multi-time champion. His son, Bronny James Jr., two Summer League games to this point for Bronny, and we'll talk about last night first. I thought last night in particular with Bronny, and this was the case in the first game, I guess as well, just not as assertive as I would like him to be. Just not as assertive as I'd like him to be on the offensive end of the floor. Now, last night, defensively, the instincts were on full display. Now, he only took three shots. So that should tell you know, where he's at offensively from a confidence standpoint. He was a plus eight, third best plus minus, or the second best plus minus on the team. 3 points, three blocks, two steals, three assists, five rebounds. Like that, I can't be angry at those numbers. He had an impact. He had an impact. He did. On the defensive end. Now we just got to see him on offense. Because I think that's the big problem right now. Jaden Daniels offensively, simply, to me, not Jaden Daniels, Bronny James, offensively to me, just doesn't look as comfortable as maybe he should. I don't think he looks particular proof. Yes. How quickly it improves, I think is the question mark. And this is the interesting thing. He's in summer league. This was the California Classic. Now he gets to go up to the big leagues in summer league out in Vegas. And I wonder how he fares there. The Lakers have already come out and said he will start in the G League. They will play minutes together early, talking about Bronny and LeBron. But realistically, barring something unforeseen, he is going to spend a majority of his time in the G League next year. They're playing the long game, is what the Lakers are doing. I don't think it's a bad bet. Because if he has the work ethic that we all know that he does, I think he'll be fine. It may take a year, 2 years, 3 years for him to become a rotational player. I don't even know if that's maybe hyperbolic. I think for damn sure, barring injury, I don't think he'll be a rotational player this year. So maybe it takes two seasons for him to be a rotational player. That's fine. He was a 55th pick. Some of these 55th overall picks are stash picks that they send overseas and let them play there for 4 or 5 years before you even get to see them. So if it takes time for Bronny, then so be it. I have no issue. No issue at all if it takes him a little bit of time. What I am happy about, though, is that he clearly looks like he belongs. I think that was a lot of the conversation from the haters, is that he doesn't fit in. He didn't belong. He wasn't deserving of being drafted. I don't know. I give him a C+. Maybe that's being too biased. I give him a C. C to C+. In terms of how I view what he's done in summer league to this point. I think that's fair. I don't think I'm giving him too much credit. I don't think I'm taking too much away. I said it all. I said it early. You can call me biased. LeBron is my favorite player, and I'm rooting for his son. Be upset. Go mow a lawn if you got a problem with it. Just how I feel. The bottom line is this, though. The Los Angeles Lakers, damn the Bronny James spectacle. LeBron talked about it in a sit-down with Dave McMenamin of ESPN. What the Lakers accomplished this offseason and what the Lakers did to their basketball team this offseason simply isn't good enough. It's not good enough. And I have high hopes for that group. I want to see LeBron win another championship or two before he calls it a career. But I don't think he's going to do it in L.A. with that roster. And I understand they won 40-plus games last year. Western Conference Finals the year before. But it simply, to me, at this point on paper for L.A., just ain't good enough. Appreciate you all tapping in with the show here tonight. To keep the conversation going with me on social media, it's at NELL_BTP. Big thank you to JP Acosta of SB Nation and Chase Hughes of the Monumental Sports Network. The Infinity Sports Network is coming up next. You can catch me there tomorrow, 3 to 6, sitting in for Zach Gill. This is the Fan. Yes, indeedy. One final segment here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement, Liddell Willingham, riding with this for about another 15 minutes before we go national. So we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Huge, huge, huge shout out to our guy Chase Hughes of the Mighty Mental Sports Network joining us in the last segment. Talking all things Washington Wizards as they get geared up for NBA Summer League. And like I continue to say, I am, and this is tough for me because, you know, the Wizards like my first love. That may be the best way that I can put it. I mean, the Commanders are always have a special place in my heart, and I love football. It's my favorite sport. The NFL is king, all of that. But just as much, this is what's different about a lot of y'all in this town. We love, 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 love the Washington Commanders. We love Washington through hell or high water. Till death do us apart, damn it. We love the Washington Commanders. I don't think that same patience exists for the Wizards. I just don't think it does. And I guess they have been mediocre a hell of a lot longer than the Commanders have. They haven't made a conference championship since the 70s. When I say it, someone should almost call in and say, what you know about the Wizards. And I guess I couldn't be upset if that was the case. But no, like I honestly and I heard Grant and Danny having this discussion a week or two ago in terms of like Wizards are on the up and up because we finally believe in the folks they have in the front office. The Commanders are on the up and up because they finally have a franchise quarterback and they believe in the folks that are in the front office. I can say the same thing about the Washington Nationals, who have lost 13 out of their last 17, but they have the best prospect in baseball, talking about James Wood. They have some really good young pitchers that they have developed, and they got some guys still that haven't come up that are in that farm system that will pay dividends immediately once they get to the show. So every organization, I noticed I didn't mention the Caps. I don't know how I feel about the Caps. I think they're in OV record-chasing mode, not about winning hockey games. I don't think that's what's most important to them. Now, they made a bevy of moves here within the last week and a half, 2 weeks, to try and improve. It's the most cap space they've had in eons. So we'll see what ultimately happens. But I think the Wizards, the Nats, and the Commanders, It's a three-horse race in terms of who's going to be the next champion here locally. Genuinely believe that. Speaking of champions, the greatest basketball player of all time, LeBron James, he was a champion. Multi-time champion. His son, Bronny James Jr., two summer league games to this point for Bronny. And we'll talk about last night first. I thought last night in particular with Bronny, and this was the case in the first game, I guess as well, just not as assertive as I would like him to be. Just not as assertive as I'd like him to be on the offensive end of the floor. Now, last night, defensively, the instincts were on full display. Now, he only took three shots. So that should tell you, you know, where he's at offensively from a confidence standpoint. He was a plus eight, third best plus minus, or the second best plus minus on the team. 3 points, three blocks, two steals, three assists, five rebounds. Like that, I can't be angry at those numbers. He had an impact. He did on the defensive end. Now we just got to see him on offense. Because I think that's the big problem right now. Jaden Daniels offensively, simply, to me, not Jaden Daniels, Bronny James offensively to me just doesn't look as comfortable as maybe he should. I don't think he looks particularly proof. Yes. How quickly it improves, I think, is the question mark. And this is the interesting thing. He's in summer league. This was the California Classic. Now he gets to go up to the big leagues in summer league out in Vegas. And I wonder how he fares there. The Lakers have already come out and said he will start in the G League. They will play minutes together early, talking about Bronny and LeBron. But realistically, barring something unforeseen, he is going to spend a majority of his time in the G League next year. They're playing the long game. That's what the Lakers are doing. I don't think it's a bad bet. Because if he has the work ethic that we all know that he does, I think he'll be fine. It may take a year, 2 years, 3 years for him to become a rotational player. I don't even know if that's maybe hyperbolic. I think for damn sure, barring injury, I don't think he'll be a rotational player this year. So maybe it takes two seasons for him to be a rotational player. That's fine. He was a 55th pick. Some of these 55th overall picks are stash picks that they send overseas and let him play there for 4 or 5 years before you even get to see him. So if it takes time for Bronny, then so be it. I have no issue. No issue at all if it takes him a little bit of time. What I am happy about, though, is that he clearly looks like he belongs. I think that was a lot of the conversation from the haters, is that he doesn't fit in. He didn't belong. He wasn't deserving of being drafted. I don't know. I give him a C+. Maybe that's being too biased. I give him a C. C to C+. In terms of how I view what he's done in summer league to this point. I think that's fair. I don't think I'm giving him too much credit. I don't think I'm taking too much away. I said it early. You can call me biased. LeBron is my favorite player, and I'm rooting for his son. Be upset. Go mow a lawn if you got a problem with it. Just how I feel. The bottom line is this, though. The Los Angeles Lakers, damn the Bronny James spectacle. LeBron talked about it in a sit-down with Dave McMenamin of ESPN. What the Lakers accomplished this offseason and what the Lakers did to their basketball team, this offseason simply isn't good enough. It's not good enough. And I have high hopes for that group. I want to see LeBron win another championship or two before he calls it a career. But I don't think he's going to do it in L.A. with that roster. I understand they won 40-plus games last year. Western Conference Finals the year before. But it simply, to me, at this point on paper for L.A., just ain't good enough. Appreciate you all tapping in with the show here tonight. To keep the conversation going with me on social media, it's at NELL_BTP. Big thank you to JP Acosta of SB Nation and Chase Hughes of the Monumental Sports Network. The Infinity Sports Network is coming up next. You can catch me there tomorrow, 3 to 6, sitting in for Zach Gill. This is The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.